to play blackjack. It's my favorite game. And my friend is a blackjack dealer, and on his forearm he has a tattoo of an ace and a jack. See, I'm a blackjack player. On my forearm, I'm gonna get a tattoo of a 10 and a 2. And then maybe later, a king. I wish 12 was a game in Las Vegas.
One of these losers in Las Vegas who keeps thinking he's gonna come up with a way to win at blackjack.
Are you ready for some TNA?
Welcome to TNA, the Tens and Aces podcast, a podcast with true-to-life stories and experiences from advantaged players in the game of blackjack. From pros crushing it and making a living counting cards, to newer players who are just making their way through all the ups and downs of what can be, at times, both an equally frustrating and beautiful game of AP blackjack. Is this the kind of thing you want to hear? Well, listen up, because we're about to give you some TNA. Here's your host, Mike AP.
And welcome to the show today. As the man just said, I'm your host of this transmission of our experiment in imaginary radio that we like to call TNA, the Tens and Aces podcast. So if this is the kind of thing you want to hear, well, listen up, because we're about to give you some TNA.
Well, hey there, Tens and Aces listeners. This is Mike here. You know, it's been a little bit since we put out content regularly on this feed. And lately, I've found a little more free time in my schedule, and we're going to do our very best to put out some more regular content. And this episode is the first in that effort. And if I'm being 100 with you guys here, I'm not sure I can still do this. But you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. So here we go. Listen up. All right, listeners. So with me now is a former guest who is one of the first, I think, probably 10 guests on this show about 3 years ago or so. So welcome back, friend of the show, Soju. How's it going, man?
Good. Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely, man. So apparently we were talking earlier and you got some bad news last week.
Yeah, so the company that I used to work for, I won't name the companies, but it was, I worked there for about 6 years, and I got laid off last week by surprise, so it just came out of nowhere.
Just because of economic conditions or...
Downsizing, trying to make the company more lean.
I'm still pissed off. The little bastards lied to me.
Yeah, it's funny. I got an invite that said status update, and I thought it was a company status update, I guess, in which it was. They had HR on by surprise and then laid me off in like 3 minutes. So we couldn't see who was on the call. They didn't really explain anything, and they just said, we're letting you guys go. And we couldn't see how many people were on the call, but apparently there was like 160 people that got laid off that day.
So wait, they did this over like Zoom or whatever?
Over Zoom, yeah.
What a bunch of cowards, man.
Yeah, and if you ask why you got laid off, they don't have an explanation. That's the end of that. And there's some people that got laid off, and they've been working there for like 16 years.
Wow, dude. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, with every door that closes, another door opens, you know?
For sure.
I strongly believe that. So you sent me a text earlier today, actually, to tell me about this. And you said, hey, basically, can you pick my brain about wanting to possibly go full-time AP and if that's a good idea or not, right? Correct?
Yes, exactly.
That is correct.
Yeah, so I haven't played blackjack in probably, I want to say, 3 years now. And then the last time at all, yeah.
And right, because you had a baby 3 years ago.
Exactly, yeah. So the
oh,
baby...
your wife did, actually.
Yes. Yeah. So, so we had a baby, and then just work between the work and having a newborn, it's just keeping me busy, so I just kind of stayed away from the casino. But I did get a chance to study Spanish 21, and then I was playing that just locally in our area until they booted me out of like all the casinos that was close by. And that was about a year ago now. So that is the last game I played was Spanish 21.
So how, just on a little side note, how long of a leash did you get on Spanish? And did you notice a longer leash on Spanish than blackjack? And do you think you can go back to those properties to to play blackjack?
So most of all the properties that were worthwhile in terms of playing with the double-double rule was properties. And
yeah,
once they figured me out, and they have the, I mean, you know better than I do that they have this new process where they check your ID at the door. And I don't know how to bypass that. So once they, and then I was just screwed at all properties, and then only the properties had the good games as far as I know. So
you got laid off. You haven't played blackjack in 3 years. So now you're thinking about going into AP as a full-time gig or a part-time gig or what?
I think full-time. Baby's a little bit older. She's 3 now. We have a lot of family that's like literally 15, 20 minutes close by. And then now that I don't have anything to do aside from just brush up on blackjack and then also Spanish 21 maybe and then hit the road, I think that's going to be the plan.
I think Spanish being in your toolkit is a huge plus in this idea because there's a lot of shops around the country that a lot of markets where they may not have great blackjack games, but there's some great Spanish games or vice versa. And it's another arrow in your quiver.
Yeah.
Plus, a lot of places don't really watch Spanish very closely.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, like, do they have Spanish 21, like, outside of Washington and California? I know those two states have it, but I don't know. I haven't traveled anywhere else.
It's all around, but some markets don't have it. I mean, it just depends.
Got it.
You can look on, like, Casino 411 or CBJN or whatever.
Yeah.
To find all that information. Or, you know, networking's huge.
Have you been playing at all lately?
Mostly local lately.
Oh, okay.
I'm still alive at a few decent shops locally. I've lost several of the really good games, but there's enough EV that I can play 6 to 10 hours a week. I don't really have a hard time finding time sometime because I have a newer girlfriend and, you know, that kind of takes a lot of time. And I'm not complaining if she's listening to this, but I'm just saying that, I get average probably 10 hours a week. That's my goal.
Well, yeah, I mean, hopefully the girlfriend's positive EV as well, so.
Definitely positive AV.
Okay.
I don't know
AV,
about,
there you go.
Well, like LV, life value, I guess.
Right. There's the third category, yeah.
Yeah. So are you thinking of traveling with your wife and the kid all around?
No,
or?
They'll be staying home. Yeah, my wife is still working, but luckily she works from home, so she's going to be able to take care of our toddler, and then also family is going to come by more often if I'm going to be gone to also handle the baby as well. So I think it'll work out.
Is the wife on board with this idea?
Surprisingly, yes, and she was always on board from the beginning when I was playing a lot locally, and I think at that time when I spoke to you 3 years ago, I was getting in about 20, 25 hours just in the Washington area until I started getting backed off a lot more.
A week or a month?
A week.
That is a lot.
Yeah, I used to play a lot.
Well, some of those shops, not all of them, because, you know, as we were discussing offline earlier, they have screening process where they scan your ID, come in the door, say, know who you are. And if you've been backed off there, they'll know who you are and they won't even let you in the door at some shops. But other shops, they probably have forgotten you in 3 years.
Yeah, but I'm worried about the properties though, because they definitely have my ID and then they've backed me off. So, and I've tried to go to other properties and they end up just either backing me off at the door or backing me off like 30 minutes into play. So,
and that's where a lot of the good Spanish games are with the double doubles and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember if I told you the last spot I played Spanish was in Renton, where the owner of the casino chased me around in his car.
I think we did talk about that on our, we have a little chat group. I think you talked about it in that. Am I right? Is that where?
I don't remember. I might have, yeah.
I remember hearing about that, but it could have been somebody else because I think that guy's just a dick and that's not an uncommon thing.
What a dick.
Did he follow you to like the Fred Meyer across the street or is that a different story?
No, that might have been a different story.
No, that's Midwest Mike's story, I think.
Oh, okay.
So that's a common thing.
Wow.
To get pictures of you and your car and all that stuff, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. He got pictures of me at the table. He brought his cell phone and literally just put it in my face and started taking pictures. Then he wanted me to cash out, so I refused to cash out. I just took all his chips. And then he got in his car while I didn't want to go to the parking lot to get in my car. So I just walked around the other side of the building and then he got in his car and chased me around and then started taking more pictures. So it sounds like it's like a common theme that he does.
Yeah, they wanted you to cash out. Of course, you know this, but I'm just going to say it.
For maybe the benefit of other listeners to this podcast who are maybe newer at this than you and I are and are not aware, but the reason they are doing this is
so they can hold your chips hostage and then demand your ID,
yeah.
Right? Because yep. Once they have the yep. chips in the cage on their side, they pretty much got you by the balls, right?
So yeah, and when I didn't cash out, he got even more pissed because I could see his face literally getting red.
Yeah, because his little game didn't work. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember you texting me a picture of him, and then I didn't really recognize him at first, and I had to look at it twice because he's a lot older now, but it's the same dude.
I sent you a picture of him?
Yeah, through my text.
Really?
You to finish the rest of that Danish? Can I have that Danish? No,
they interrogated everybody.
Absolutely. Had a low blood sugar thyroid thing.
It went on for months. It was a total fucking harassment. Doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry. No.
Jack.
No.
Staff. No idea.
I don't recall that transaction. You guys have any milk?
Absolutely not.
Would you remember any of those?
I do not recall any of that.
Yeah, because you were asking me, like, there's two owners, and they have other locations as well. And then you were just asking me, was it one of these guys? And then it was.
You sure it wasn't Midwest Mike that texted you? Because I know he had he had a run-in with them. I think a couple of people have had a run-in with that guy. I might have. I don't know. I'm getting old, dude. I forget shit.
No, yeah, it was a while ago. So it was over like a year and a half ago.
Not crazy. Oh, I think I actually remember that now that you mention it. Now that rings a bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think I was freaking out and then thinking that those are Maverick properties. And then you're like, no, those are not Maverick properties. It's different owners.
They're not. Yep, you're right. They're not Maverick properties. That's a common misnomer that people think that those are Maverick properties because they look like Maverick properties.
They do. Yeah.
But no, they're just generic kind of one-off card rooms.
So, yeah. So what's your plan? So your plan is you're going to fly around the country, drive around the country, do it like 2 weeks out of the month or...
Yeah, so I remember watching, it was Colin's BJA podcast, or maybe it was his YouTube channel, about a teacher that drove in his Tesla and literally just put the Tesla in camp mode to sleep in it to regulate the temperature, mm-hmm. and just drive around to get EV. That was going to be kind of my plan, if I do it.
And you have the Tesla?
No, not yet, but I can, you know, get a used one.
So... What kind of bankroll are you talking about, if you don't mind sharing? Like at least probably 100 grand, right?
No. I was actually thinking between 30 and 40,000. I haven't decided exactly how much, but yeah, nowhere near 100,000 though.
I mean,
so I don't know if it's worth my time. So that's why I'm on the call with you.
You know, if you want to take a shot, go for it. But if you got to be willing to lose that 30, 40 grand, you know what I'm saying? And play with a moderately high risk of ruin. But I mean,
yeah.
If you and your wife are comfortable with risking that money as like an investment, like a business opportunity that mm-hmm. if it works out, it works out great. Cause like just recently, I think burning down the house, he pretty much, you know, he did the same exact thing you're doing. And I think he hit $1 million. There's a recent BGA podcast about that, or it just came out, or it's just coming out. I haven't heard it yet, but I mean, I'm just saying it can happen. And I'm not sure what he started with, but I think it was less than what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Do you think it's because there's just too many games that have too high of table limits then?
I think it's just because, you know, this game can just tear you.
Yeah.
I mean, you got travel costs, you have, it's, yeah, I mean, there are, yeah, limits have gone up since, you know, post-COVID. Good games are typically around, especially other parts. This part of the country is a lot cheaper than other parts of the country, believe it or not. But in other parts of the country, 25 or 50 minimum for even not great games. But I mean, you can do it. I mean, I'm not here to discourage you.
Right.
But I mean, if you guys can afford to take the shot, take the shot. If you can't afford it or don't want to afford it or risk it, I mean, life's short, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right. But yeah, I haven't traveled like anywhere outside of like Oregon, a little bit of California, and then nothing on the Midwest or the East. So I don't know what they have in terms of games or if it's even worth it or what the conditions look like. Because last time I played was like 3 years ago. So just curious to if you've traveled more in the last 3 years. So
I have not done much traveling in the last 2 years, but I mean I'd get with like Midwest Mike's been around, Whiskey's been around, they're all
They're both on our text group. Especially Whiskey. He's been all over the country. So
yeah, I tried to reach out to Whiskey earlier today. So just trying to see if he was still traveling.
Right. Yeah, you didn't get hold of him, or he didn't get back to you?
Oh, no, not yet.
So this is kind of a fun little adventure, right?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope we don't lose everything, but that's definitely a possibility. Yeah, I don't know what to expect because I've never played full-time. I've always just been a part-time player.
So do you think you can go in like three-quarter time, or it could be like your job, but since it's been 3 years since you played locally, you can probably get back into some shops that you got some heat at before?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's my half-brain plan for now. And then if it doesn't work out, I guess, you know, go back to corporate America and get the resumes going out again.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I say give it a shot. I mean, why not? I mean, it's up to you and your wife if you guys decide you want to take the risk or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't like be in the poorhouse.
Right.
But if you can afford $30,000-$40,000 risk or whatever your bank's going to be, plus travel, mm-hmm. take a shot. Why not?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And she's on board, so we'll see what happens. I'm pretty rusty right now, so got to get back on BJA and brush up. And then, like you said, you know, just hit the local casinos that I haven't been to in a long time. I'm sure I can get some practice in before I have to start widening the radius. So
I would certainly get tested out before you go back out on the on the trail, for sure.
Yeah, I would want that too.
I mean, because you don't know. 3 years is a long time, and mm-hmm. it's a skill. I still practice. I still have AP here and there test me out now and then. And they've caught things that I've just let their leaks happen.
Yeah,
like during COVID, I was like, under my mask, I was lipping the freaking count, and then I caught myself doing that. It's like 2 weeks ago. What am I doing? I don't know. Of course, I don't have a mask on anymore.
Yeah,
because I look weird. I mean, that's like obvious. Like, what's this guy trying to hide?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens, and then keep you in the loop. We're not 100%. I'm like 80% sure that I want to do it.
They've done studies. You know, 60% of the time it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.
You're going to have to travel a lot. She's aware of that. Like, probably be gone like half the time.
Yeah.
Especially once you get your bank built up and you're playing at higher stakes, that's when the travel really kicks in because.
Yeah. And then I don't know if you've already talked to others in the group about travel. And that's like a whole nother job in itself, right? To make sure you stay healthy and like eat the right things and sleep the correct amount and all that, and make sure you stay focused on.
Right. That is actually what you just said. Eating is huge. Getting exercise is huge for travel because it's real easy to, you know, we get out there in work mode and we just want to work, work, work at EV, 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 especially if we're by ourselves, because you're out there, you're trying to make money for your family. And so it's real easy to just forget about you, but it's important. Sometimes it's even important. I don't know. Say you're playing in say you're in New Orleans, go see the sights for 3, 4, or 5 hours one day.
Yeah.
Take a break just for are those hours that could be put into EV? Sure. But just taking the mental break, the hours that you are on the tables, you're probably sharper because of that break. So I think it's worthwhile. If you're in Arizona, go see the Grand Canyon or whatever. Right. I think that kind of thing is important. Plus, also, we're human beings.
Yeah, I agree.
We're not just robots. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we try and play like robots. Right. But we're not robots. We're human beings.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like staying at the tables for however long can definitely take a toll. Like, I know with me, like 3 hours and then I need a break. Like, I don't know how people can do like the marathon sessions without, you know, drinking or eating or doing anything.
Well, I can do the marathon sessions, but I mean, you know how it is at table time. It's like you're in some kind of a twilight zone. It just goes at a different pace, right?
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. The breaks, definitely a mental break mid-session is definitely a good thing.
Yeah.
If nothing else, review your pro betting software app and then like if you have to adjust your bankroll or your spread or all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's great too. What were you going
to
say?
Do you do the Planet Fitness thing to use it for the gym and shower?
I do not anymore. I haven't really traveled that much. So there's really no need, but that's a great idea. And I know some people that do, and I did in the past, but I don't anymore.
Okay.
But that is a great idea.
I think that they're the cheapest.
Yeah. They're like $10 a month or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, when I did a little bit of traveling in recent months, here and there down to like California or a little bit east, I have used like truck stops for the showers and like slept in rest stops.
Oh, I remember, yeah, we talking about it last time. And don't they charge like $10 to $15 for...
For the shower, yeah. For the shower,
yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
$10 to $15 bucks for the shower. And you can take like an hour and a half in there, get a good charge on your phone, you know, get a good shave, that kind of thing. And some of those places also have, most all of them, the truck stops have laundry facilities. So you can like put a little laundry in while you're taking a shower.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Well, they have more than I thought.
Right, because they're for truck drivers that are driving around the country like we're doing. We're not hauling a load. We're just hauling a bunch of cash around from shop to shop. So some I have ran into a few places that because I think it's because of homeless people, you have to have a CDL to use the showers and the facilities because they don't want just random travelers up in there.
Okay.
But that's not, I'd say that's probably 20% of the time I've ran into that. So then you just go to the next place and it's usually okay. So
yeah, it's good to know that's not the norm. Yeah.
But I've done plenty of times when I've played like 7-8 hours and then drove to a nearby rest stop, slept for 5-6 hours and drove somewhere and took a shower. I mean, why pay for a room at that point?
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if you're trying to cut down on costs. It's kind of odd that playing hundreds of dollars a hand and then you're so cheap that you're sleeping in a rest stop.
I know, I agree.
The irony there.
The life of an AP.
Exactly. Yeah. The irony there is ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember when I was playing a lot, I would try to extract the EV from just everything at that point. And then I've gotten a lot better about it now that I don't even play. But I looked at everything as EV.
I still do. Yeah, and it is too. I mean, everything is, we calculate everything, you know, like I said, playing hundreds of dollars a hand, like it's nothing. And then bitching because gas went up 15 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just, or because you didn't get your 10% discount on some player's card, if you're using a player's card somewhere, whatever the hell it is.
For a meal, yeah.
Or whatever the deal is. So, I don't know. It's just crazy AP economics, I guess.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, it's exactly how it works. Only an AP would understand, huh?
I know, right? Exactly, man. Exactly. So, did you have any more questions regarding AP play, specifically things like traveling?
When you do travel, do you happen to, like, have, like, something that's on, that the money's on you at all times, or did you have something that's strapped to your stomach, or how'd you operate that?
You know, I pretty much had how'd I say this without blowing my security? Basically, yes, I had a considerable amount of cash on me pretty much at all times, both in chips and in actual cash. And I had a secure location where I kept other monies in case needed. I'll leave it at that. But, you know, an AP finds tricks on the road, where to stash things, where to put things. And, you know, there's banks, but there's issues with banks too. You know, anyway, I'm trying to be kind of vague here for obvious reasons, but still answer your question.
I think I've heard some horror stories about what happened to people with like hotels and safes, especially if it's the casino's hotel.
Right. Yeah. How can you prove anything, right?
Yeah.
You say you put 25 grand in there, but and it's missing, but they're like, well, we have no record of anybody going in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, you just got to kind of figure out a system for you that works. That whole handling money thing is a whole different thing. Like when I used to play it, I didn't want to park in the property because I knew they had license plate scanners and I didn't want my license plate tagged
because I know I'm data-based,
blah, blah, blah. They would have pegged me right away. You know, it's in the ghetto. So I used to park up in the neighborhoods and here I'm walking with
a lot of money and cash and chips.
And I'm walking past these, like, you know, when like gangbangers get shot, they have those ad hoc like memorials with like pictures and like, like, you know, Catholic candles, you know, sitting there and all that stuff. Yeah. I walked by two of those and there's like fresh blood on the ground and stuff from, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
I'm like, this is not a great area. What am I doing?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was just there for a concert, like I said earlier, and that bridge, when you get off the freeway, it's just filled with homelessness there. And I remember it was cold that night, so they had their fire going, and it's just like, wow,
it's like
sad to see.
It's like dystopian there.
And
they have that fancy hotel there that with a view of view of all that, right?
Right. Yeah, that's your view. Yeah, and you pay, how much do they charge, $200, $300 a night?
I think I saw a sign that said $199. I haven't stayed there.
Oh, okay.
But, I think I've seen a sign that said $200. It said from $200 or $199. Only $199.
So you get the aroma of Tacoma, and then you get that view. So
The aroma of Tacoma is the homeless piss. Yeah. So I know earlier I put in a beep when you said Emerald Queen, but here I'm just going to let it fly because I like your aroma of Tacoma joke, and that joke just wouldn't make any sense at all to a listener if I were to beep that part out. So we're just going to let it fly.
But they got the best double deck game, though, huh?
They do. They absolutely do. If anybody out there doesn't know, now you do. All right, I think now is a good time to take a short break. We will be right back. Fellow APs out there, if you guys are anything like me, I'm always looking for an angle or a way to find EV in my everyday life. You know, there's things all around us that we can do in situations where we can save and make money. Here's one example. Apple Card is a perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Pay with Apple Card purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you could earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs USA, Salt Lake City branch. Terms and conditions apply.
TNA producer Bella here. If you'd like to reach out to the show, you can reach us via email at tensandaces21@gmail.com. That's tens and aces, the number 21 at gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, simply called the Tens and Aces Podcast, if you're still on Facebook anyway, or you can catch us on the web by going to anchor.fm/TA21. So you want to make a podcast? Spotify's got a platform that lets you make one super easily, then distribute it everywhere, and even earn money, all in one place, for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer, so no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then, you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Video podcasts are also available on Spotify. And here's the cool thing. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. And best of all, it's totally free with no catch. Now, are you ready for some TNA?
Yes, Bella, I think we're all ready for some TNA. And so with that, we are back. So, is there anything you wanted to bring up or possibly something that you learned over the last several years of your AP career?
I remember now that he warned me about my bedspread. So at the time, 3 years ago, when I was playing with a tiny bankroll of like 10,000, I was spreading 1 to 20 at every shop. And I think that's how I got booted off even quicker. So would that be something I should be wary of this time around? Maybe just keep it to like 1 to 12 or 1 to 15?
Well, that's a great question. I think there's definitely a difference as far as how an AP might approach a local game versus a game that you're just there primarily to attack EV on the road.
Yeah.
Because at a local shop, part of your consideration with regards to your spread and how aggressive you play is obviously your longevity, because you want to have a decent game or games that are close proximity to your home so you don't have to travel hours away just to play on a random Tuesday night if you're at home or what have you.
Yeah,
versus on the road, again, just out there hunting that EV down, it's a totally different thing because you may want to just attack that EV and get as much as you can. If you get backed off, you get backed off, you move on to the next place. And if you get backed off there, you move on to the next place and so on and so forth. And
yep.
This is another area where having a network of other APs is so vital, because from them, you can gather information on things like, you know, such as cash out thresholds, how much action they would tolerate, different shifts to look out for, different personnel to look out for, and so many other little insights that'll help you to maximize your EV, which is, again, in the end, our main goal out there on the road or anytime we're APing. This question brings to mind the age-old argument of maximizer versus longevity. You know, should we maximize our profits and get the most EV possible, or kind of play a little conservative, thinking that that might extend our time
before
the inevitable back-off goes down at any given shop? You know, man, it's weird. In this crazy thing that we call AP, sometimes you'll get way more hours than you think you will at a shop from intel you get, and other times you'll get way less than you think you should get. It just all depends.
Yeah.
So I say just maximize when you're in maximizing mode and then just, you know, burn, baby, burn.
Yeah, I mean, I did the burn, baby, burn in the local areas, and then that screwed me.
Right,
cut the
right.
Part-time career short.
That sucks because it's nice to have this little hobby in your back pocket.
Yep.
Where if you need to go make some money to buy something or just for fun, just for extra money, it's nice to have a little skill. But if you burn all the good games down around you, it's you regret the greed. I regret the greed in Emerald Queen. I should have just like...
Oh, yeah.
Because I was doing this thing where I would have this wheel. I had a spreadsheet where I was rotating days and shifts, and I knew when people worked. So they never got to know me that intimately, individually. And it was a long time in between when I would see the same person again. So I'd rotate days and shifts.
Yeah.
So I was never like a known commodity. But then I just went back like 3 days in a row on the same shift and took them for a significant amount of money. And that got me flagged. And I guess they started watching. And, you know, I got greedy and I lost the best game around here.
No, that sucks because, you're not too far from there either, driving distance wise.
Yeah, I'm right in the middle of Muckleshoot and Emerald Queen.
Yeah, I used to like Muckleshoot. Yeah, because even if they did have that 8 decks, that would be like watching paint dry.
Did you know their 8 deck game now? Of course, you wouldn't know. The pen on the 8-decker went from average to below average with most dealers to above average to phenomenal with some dealers.
Oh, so it's gone better pen-wise? I remember pen-wise back then, it was about a deck, placed 7 out of 8.
Right, and it was dealer-dependent, too.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me about when he got backed off at another local casino and got a player's card post-back off.
Yeah, they got suspicious at me because I just never played rated.
Yeah, that sounds like that place. They do that there.
I did sign up for a card, though, when they did back me off, just to get a free meal before I got on the ferry.
Right.
So I technically, do have a card there.
Should have asked for the ferry comp.
No, I did. They didn't want to give it to me. I got a cheesesteak instead.
Now the question is, in hindsight, do you think that cheesesteak was so good that it was worth them having all of your information that they may or may not have already had? But when you gave it to them, they definitely had it at that point. Anyway,
if I ever go back.
If you ever go back. I mean, it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
I think you're good.
I think so, too. Well, I mean, we'll find out, It's good to know.
But, see, that's the thing, though. You probably should not play rated now because they know your name. Right?
Yeah.
So just, I mean, it's worth a shot. So thanks for coming on, Soju. And I hope that works out for you. Let me know how that works out.
Oh, will do. Appreciate it.
Likewise. Take care, Matt.
All right. You too. Have a good one.
You too. So listeners, if you're anything like me, when I'm listening to a podcast and I'm enjoying it, and then I start to hear the theme music come down, little bit of me gets a little bit sad because that usually means that it's about to be over. So if you're enjoying this episode and you think it's about to be over, I have some good news for you. If you're not, well, I guess turn it off. And I'm sorry. My apologies. I did my best, I promise. But this episode is not ending because I put a call out there in the AP world for people's opinions on going full-time or not going full-time. And here is what you guys had to say, along with some other voicemails that some of you listeners were kind enough to send me. So listen up.
How's it going, Mike? So I am local to the Washington area. I just started APing probably about a month or so ago. Working on like trying to get my first big bankroll so I can actually play at stakes that are profitable. So I went to Imperial Palace, the casino, and you can bleep it out if you want to. But I walk in there, find a blackjack table, I showed my ID at the door. It's military, so they can't scan it. I don't know if you want to bleep that out too, because it's I shouldn't be telling people my job, but it's whatever. So they verify my age, that I'm old enough to play in a casino, and I sit down at the table, and I buy in for chips. The dealer's trying to get me to sign up for a player's card or whatever they have there, and I'm like, nah, man, I'm all right. So The pit boss comes over and he's like, you sure you don't want a player's card? And I'm like, no, they're bad luck. Like, I've never won anywhere I've had a player's card. Which is true because I've never got a player's card anywhere. So I'm playing like two hands, three hands. I'm down 15 bucks. You know, I'm just min betting, waiting for the count to get hot. And security, the guy who checked my ID at the door, comes over and he's like, hey, we need to see your ID again because we couldn't scan it because it's a military ID. And I was like, all right, man, not a problem. So I went in my wallet and I showed security my ID and my verified that my age was 25. The pit boss says, I need to see that. Me not being, you know, I'm new to APing, but I've done enough listening and all that to know your ID is your most valuable asset. Like, your name is more important than your bankroll occasionally. So I just didn't even show the guy. Like, kind of was like, you don't need to see it. Security just verified it. And the pit boss got all hot. Oh, we need to see if you're on the excluded players list. And I said, this is my first time in this casino. How would I be excluded? And he just said, if you don't want to show me your ID, you can't play here. And I said, all right, have a good day, sir. And I left, down 10 bucks. So I'm not sure if that really qualifies as my first back off, but if that is, then I finally got back off after about 30 hours of AP. So more to come, I hope. Thank you, guys.
Hey, welcome to the club, and thanks for sending the voicemail there. And, you know, I think, yes, maybe that's a soft back off, but I mean, the fact that they identified you enough to question you, I'm sure they weren't demanding ID of the other players there, or many of the other players, or all of them anyway. And the fact that they honed in on you means they were looking at you as a potential advantage player, would be my assumption. And the way they wouldn't let you play unless they knew who you were, I think at least qualifies for a soft back off. And that casino, by the way, they are very sweaty. I don't know. They have a terrible game there for the most part. Their double deck is really terrible. The shoe game, I haven't really played it, so I really can't speak too much to it. But as far as the double deck goes, it is just horrible. I mean, they don't allow mid-shoe entry on side bets. That's how sweaty they are there. It's ridiculous. But anyway, good job early on in your career. Keep it going. And I'm sure more back-offs will come. And, you know, back-offs are like a double-edged sword because on one hand, it kind of sucks when you lose a place. On the other hand, it's kind of like validation that you're doing something right. Although I will say it doesn't always mean that you're doing something right, because I've seen ploppies who are just betting amounts of money that maybe a particular shop may not be comfortable with. I've seen them get backed off too. So anyway, best of luck and happy variance to you. All right, so here is what another listener had to say.
What's up, Tens and Aces? BGA member Go Flames Go here. Funny enough, I also spent 6 years in the corporate soul-sucking world. I worked both public and corporate accounting roles during this time. I decided to finally lay myself off last year after making the leap into full-time high-stakes blackjack. And I can only speak for myself when I say that the blackjack life fits my personality great, but that's really what it boils down to when deciding if it's the right fit for you. I mean, it's been said so many times, the learning and applying the technical skill of card counting, while this is challenging and takes lots and lots of practice, it's ultimately not the true difficult part. You can be the world's greatest blackjack player on paper, and you may even possess fantastic expense and bankroll management, but if your personality and your attitude don't jive with the unconventional journey of full-time blackjack, this is probably just not for you. I'm talking nonstop travel, flights, rental cars, route planning, grinding in smoky, dumpy casinos for hours and hours on end. Big winning sessions and streaks are great, but then there could be hundreds of hours of break-even and losing streaks. Back off after back off, getting backed off in some remote casino after a big loss, and now you're alone in the middle of nowhere. thousands of miles from your hometown where all your family and friends comfy in their homes with their steady paychecks after their 9-to-5 jobs. I mean, I don't mean to shine full-time AP in only a negative light. I could talk about the advantages of this lifestyle forever, but as you mentioned, it wouldn't hurt to give it a shot before diving into a full-fledged commitment. Either way, best of luck with what you choose to do. This gig changed my life for the better, and I'm sure it could for you as well. Good luck.
Thanks for the feedback, and I absolutely agree with pretty much everything you said there, and it's nice to hear another perspective and another voice out there for someone whom, such as like Soju, is out there considering doing this full time. So again, thanks for the input, man. Well said. All right, so our final voicemail of this episode is right here.
Busybone here from the Blackjack Apprenticeship Forum. I wanted to ask a question about wonging in. My local, it only has one blackjack table, and the dealer's back is to the pit. So unless I can see through the back of somebody's head, it's almost impossible for me to wong, or wong in, rather. Do you have any advice for somebody who is in my situation? It's that their heads, the players' heads are blocking the cards, and if I'm bobbing my head left and right to see everybody's cards, I gotta be standing pretty close to them to count. Maybe I'm thinking about this wrong, or maybe it's just a bad situation. I'd really like to get an opinion. Thank you for what you do, sir. Have a good day.
Interesting question. I know the area that you're sending your message from that you're talking about, but I can't quite place the exact table, and I can't quite picture a situation where I couldn't see around players, other players' heads to back count. I guess my lame suggestion would be to maybe drive somewhere past your local and find a better game. Barring that, I really don't have an answer for you. I wish I could like physically be there so I could just actually try it myself and maybe have some suggestions, but I guess just try different angles and try to look as natural as possible. That's pretty much all I have. So maybe some others out there have a suggestion or have a similar situation that they deal with at their local spot. And there's probably something obvious that I'm just not thinking of here. But I'm sorry, I can't really help you much on this one. So if anybody else has any ideas on this or any other topic or question that they want to have on the show, feel free to send an email to tensandaces21@gmail.com. That's tensandaces21@gmail.com. And we will put you on the show. Now, as you probably hear the music playing in the background, this time it's not a false flag. It is truly, and I'm sorry, or you want this to end, congratulations, the show is ending. This is the end of the show. I hope you all enjoyed. Have a great day, and I will see you down the felt.
Corporate bastards.